Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Lamed Ches. Yesterday we just got started on the 20th parak of Masechta Shabbos, the second parak in a row that begins with the words Rabbi Eliezer. So this parak is actually called Tolin because that's the fourth word of the parak. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tolin. So says the Mishnah. We'll read it again, even though we read it yesterday. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tolin as a Mishmaris B'Yom Tov. Rabbi Eliezer holds you're allowed to put a strainer over a kli on Yom Tov. V'nosun l'tliya b'Shabbos. And on Shabbos, although apparently you're not allowed to put a strainer over the kli, you're allowed to put wine through the strainer on Shabbos. V'chacham momer and l'cham say, ain't tolin as a mishmeres b'Yom Tov. One cannot put a strainer over a kli on Yom Tov. V'ein nosun l'tliya b'Shabbos. But one cannot even use the strainer on Shabbos, even if it's already been set up prior to Shabbos. Avol nosun l'tliya b'Yom Tov. But if a strainer was set up before Yantiv, a person is allowed to use such a strainer on Yantiv. So we pointed out yesterday that there are two potential issues with using a strainer. There's the hanging the strainer, setting it up, and that's an issue of, as we'll discuss a lot in today's daf, of making a temporary ohel, which is a toldav building, and then you have the issue of using a strainer that's already set up, which is an issue of borer. So in today's daf, we're going to focus on these issues that relate mostly to the first of those two issues. We're going to discuss whether hanging and using strainers on Shabbos is aser midaraisa or only aser midarabbanan. We're going to try to identify which malacha one violates when straining on Shabbos, whether it's borer or something else perhaps, and we're going to discuss whether it's mutter to set up, and that's the bulk of the daf is going to be whether it's mutter to set up a variety of different types of structures, tents, hats, beds, canopies, all these different types of things that might be considered. Oh well, and then at the very end of the daf we're going to have three teachings that Rav Huna has in the name of Rav. Two of them actually relate to a temporary ohel, and then the final one is just about Torah in general, nothing to do with our topic. But that's how it all gets started. So let's see the Gemara. It says the Gemara, Hasher Rabbi Elazar Sufi Ohel Arai L'Mosfinan L'Mevid L'Chadchil L'Shari. If Rabbi Elazar does not even allow being Mosif on an Ohel Arai, so he would tell you that you're allowed to make an Ohel Arai, meaning what's going on in our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar says you're allowed to be Tola as a Mishmeres B'Yom Tov. You're allowed to build, you're allowed to put the strainer over the Kli on Yom Tov. But we know that elsewhere Rabbi Elazar holds that even if you have an Ohel already set up, you're not even allowed to add on to an existing one. How could it be that he holds that it's mutter to make one l'chadchila? So says Mar Maihi, where do we find that he holds that you're not allowed to add to an existing ohel? Ditznan, we already had a Mishnah like this. The Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chav Heyamid Beis, Pekaka Chalon, remember we spoke about window shutters. Rabbi Elazar Omer B'Zman Shekosher V'Toli Pokinbo, V'im La V'in Pokinbo, that only if it's tied on and hanging to the ground, hanging but not dragging on the ground, are you allowed to use the window shutters. Otherwise, you're not allowed to use it according to Rabbi Elazar, even though the structure's already built, and all you're doing is being mosif onto the structure. Still, he says, no good. V'chamor ben kach ben kach pokinbo. V'cham say, either way, it's fine, you're allowed to use it. V'yamar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Modim, She'en Osin Ol Arai B'tchila B'Yom Tov, Ve'en Tzarek Lomer B'Shabbos. Rabba Bar Chana says in him, Rabbi Yochanan, everyone agrees that you're not allowed to make an Ol Arai on Yom Tov, and certainly you're not allowed to make one on Shabbos. Lo Nechleku Elo LaHosif. The whole Machlokas is about being Mosif on an Ol Arai. Sh'Rabbi Elazar Omer Ein Mosif in B'Yom Tov, Ve'en Tzarek Lomer B'Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar holds, both Yontif and Shabbos, it's Osir to be Mosif on an Ohel Arai, that you're allowed to add to an already existing structure on Shabbos, and therefore certainly you're allowed to do so on Yom Tov. So Rabbi Elazar, so says the Gemara, so bottom line is, that's our question. We have a stira in Rabbi Elazar, that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar says that it's no problem being tola mishmeres in Yom Tov, and yet we find elsewhere that Rabbi Elazar holds that you're not even allowed to be mosif on an existing ohel. So answers the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar sover like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Detanya ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos ela ochel nefesh pulvan. Tanakama says that ochel nefesh is the only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, that malachos that involve ochel nefesh that are there for food preparation, you're allowed to do on Yantif. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Af Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda says, even things that are preliminary stages in food preparation, even things that only set up Ochel Nefesh Melachos, even that's mutter to do on Yantif. So what does Rabbi Leza say in our Mishnah? You're allowed to set up a strainer on Yantif. Why are you allowed to set up a strainer on Yantif? Rabbi Leza holds you're not even allowed to be Mosif on Noel Arai on Shabbos and Yantif. Yeah, that's when it's not Ochel Nefesh. But over here, this goes in the category of Ochel Nefesh because this is Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. It's a preliminary stage in preparing food. So says Gemara, Emer de Shaminin ad Rabbi de Machshir and Shiev Shal Asos Mer of Yom Tov. Ve Machshir Shiev Shal Asos Mer of Yom Tov Mishamadlei. But even Rabbi Yehuda, who allows Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, Malachos of Machshirei Ochel Nefesh to be done, that's only if you could not have done it before Yantif. Rabbi Lazar is allowing putting a strainer over a kli. You could do that before Yantif. You don't need to do that on Yantif. Rabbi Yehuda never would have allowed that. And says Gemara, that's correct. Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't allow that, but Rabbi Lazar is entitled to his own opinion. So Rabbi Lazar, Adifa mid Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Lazar takes Rabbi Yehuda's shita and goes one step further. Rabbi Yehuda holds Machshirei Ochel Nefesh Mutter, but only when you could not have done it before Shabbos. Rabbi Lazar goes one step further and says, even when you could have done it before Shabbos with equal effectiveness, still Machshirei Ochel Nefesh Mutter, and that's why Rabbi Lazar holds you allowed to set up the strainer on Yantif. The Chumash say you're not, but Rabbi Lazar holds you are allowed to set up the strainer on Yantif. Says the Gemara further now, the Chachamim Amrim, the Mishnah said the Chum hold, you're not allowed to be told of the Mishmeris in Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to use a Mishmeris that had been set up on Shabbos, but you are allowed to use it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara asks the following question, Ibayilu, Talam Mai, is hanging the strainer, what exactly is the Isser? Is it an Isser D'Araisa, or is it an Isser D'Rabbanan? We know the Rabbanan say you're not allowed to do it, but they never identify why you're not allowed to do it. So is this an Isser D'Araisa, or is it only an Isser D'Rabbanan? Am Rav Yosef Talach Chayev Chatos. Rav Yosef says, it's an Isser D'Araisa, a person's Chayev HaKomer Chatos, if he hangs a strainer on Shabbos. Am Le Abayi El Me'ata Talach Kuzo B'sichsa Hachinami D'Mechayev. Abayi says, that's no more of a permanent structure than hanging a pot on a peg, which is clearly mutter. So would you ever say that's chayiv? Why is this more of a permanent structure than hanging a pot on a peg? So Abayi says, when the Chachamim hold that one is not allowed to set up a strainer on Shabbos Niyantiv, Elam Rabbi mid Rabbanan hi, Shalo Yasa Kederach Shuosa B'chol. It's purely a din Rabbanan that a person shouldn't behave the way he does on a weekday. If you look at Tosos, so, but wait a second. Abaye just said setting up a strainer should be the same thing as hanging a pot on a peg. Now, hanging a pot on a peg is not asr midrabanan. So, if Abaye is going to say he said it can't be asr midaraisa because hanging a pot on a peg is not asr midaraisa. But why could it be asr midrabanan then? Hanging a pot on a peg is not asr midrabanan either. So says Tosos, b'mili d'rabanan shayich shapir l'chalik. Sometimes it's not so predictable to figure out where the rabbanan are going to make a gzera, where they won't, what they're going to label as uvdu d'chol, what they're not going to label as uvdu d'chol. So that you could have two cases that are very similar to each other, and the rabbanan will asr one, and they'll be matir the other. Aval I b'mishmeres midaraisa asr ein shayich l'chalik. But if setting up the strainer would have been an Isser D'Araisa, then it wouldn't make any sense that it would be any different than placing a pot, hanging a pot on a peg. So what is this Isser D'Rabbanan? If you look at Rashi on the top, Elam Arbayim Midrabbanan Kasvila V'Cham D'Masnis and Zol Shavkirin Le'Milsei L'Mevid Uvda D'Chol. This is an issue of Uvda D'Chol. That's the operative problem over here when we set up the strainer. It's a weekday activity. How do we define Uvda D'Chol? It's one of the more difficult concepts in Hilchos Shabbos to define. What do we consider Uvda D'Chol? So there are certain cases the Gemara says explicitly are Uvda D'Chol, and it's Paskin Beferish and Shulchan Aruch. Using a brush to brush an animal is Uvda D'Chol. That the Gemara says Beferish, that using such a kli is Uvda D'Chol. So how do we apply that lahalacha? So Rav Vadya Yosef writes in a tshuva, he has a long tshuva about brushing teeth on Shabbos, and he goes through all these potentially surim, and he says it's not memareach, and it's not schita, and it's not going through one after the other, it's not chavala, it's not refuah, it's not, and then he says, but it's uvda d'chol. It's a weekday activity. And therefore, he says, whenever you have something that you're using a certain type of kli, uvda d'chol, you need to have a separate one just for Shabbos. L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. So he says you could use regular toothpaste, regular everything, as long as you have a special Shabbos toothbrush. So where does he get that? Uvda d'chol. So that one, you see, it's not such a giant leap to go from one type of brush to another type of brush. I think they quote B'Shem Rav Shlomo Zalman, uvda d'chol is any activity, which clearly Rav Avadya does not hold to this definition, but it's any activity that when done in the normal way that you would do it on a weekday would normally involve malacha. So even if you're doing it on Shabbos in a way that doesn't involve malacha, that would still be uvda d'chol. The problem, clearly Rav Avadya doesn't hold that definition because he holds that there's no malacha in brushing teeth whatsoever. The only issue is uvda d'chol. So it's a very difficult thing. I think they say b'shem b'chazanish that it's up to the chachamim of each generation. The chazanish writes, not just they say b'shem, that it's up to the chachamim of each generation to figure out what's uvda d'chol, what's not uvda d'chol. Meaning that it's more halachic intuition to define uvda d'chol rather than any specific criteria that actually defines what's considered of the d'chol, what's not. So anyway, over here the Gemara says that according to Abaye, setting up a strainer is of the d'chol. Manket Abaye, chumri masnisa v'tani. Abaye collected together a whole bunch of halachos from various brisos, and once he collected all the brisos together, he had one very clear teaching that there are three basic categories when it comes to setting up structures, and that is as follows: Hagod v'mishmeres kila v'kisei galin lo yasev masa patra v'laser. The first category is a leather chair, a strainer, a canopy, a type of chair used in galin, kisei galin. Galin is the name of a place. Rashi says all of these things are considered temporary structures, and they're only asr midrabbanan. They're not asr midaraisa. They're not mutter. They're asr midrabbanan. Now, in terms of the definition of kisei galin, the way I translate it is like Rashi. Rashi says though that kisei galin is not an issue of ohel at all. That it's only gzera shemiyitka bechozek. That maybe you're going to put it together in a way that's going to be a violation of bone, but it does not involve making any sort of ohel. Tosos takes issue with that. Tosos in Dibur Maskel kisei galin says lo kapir shakuntras mita galal nisa deshili kira. He says it can't be that it's just the bed that they would use in this place called Galin, and the whole issue is that you might hold it together, you might put it together too strongly. The kulish maita airi be iser ohel, because the entire sugya we have over here is all about making an ohel. So we're gonna have every single example we have is all about ohel, and then one stuck in there has nothing to do with ohel. It's all about shemi yitka. No, alahainu kein mita shaparsonale or vaasr mishem ohel kishemoshiv tchila mita vaachar kach poris aar. It's a certain type of bed that they would take piece of leather and they would hang it over the bed, and that served as an ohel. Whenever you set up the walls first and then the roof, that's always going to be an issue of ohel. Davi mimata lemala. That's setting up a structure in the normal way, going from the bottom up. First you set up the walls and then the roof. That's setting up a bed is asr when you set it up from bottom to top. So that's category one. Category one are all these things that are asr midrabbanan. If you make an ohel keva, an actual permanent tent, then it's a violation of bona midaraisa. So you're going to be chayv karban chatas. And then the third category, aval mita v'kisei traskal v'asla mutal l'natosal mechadchila. A bed, a folding seat, a folding toilet seat, those are meant to be put up and taken down constantly, and since they're always meant to be put up and taken down, so that's not even considered making an ohel midrabanan. That is 100% mutal l'chadchila. This probably alludes to the concept that we seem to find throughout Hilchos Shabbos, that when something is derech tashmisha bekach, that's just the way it's used, it's always done this way, it's always put together and taken apart, that's considered not to be a creative malacha, that's not considered to be a malacha at all. For instance, normally, if you were to take a piece of wood and stick it into a hole that's exactly the size of the wood, and make it and connect it by having a piece of metal go from that piece of wood into the wall that it's connecting into, that would be a violation midaraisa of bona. That's much worse than window shutters. Yet, typically, we open the door on Shabbos and close the door on Shabbos. When you close the door on Shabbos, you're taking this giant piece of wood and you're sticking it in a hole that fits perfectly into, and when the doorknob turns, it sticks a piece of metal into it and holds it tightly. Why is that not bona? Why every time we open the door is it not soser? So this probably relates to derech tashmisha b'kach, because it's made to constantly be used in that way, where you're always opening, closing, putting it together, taking it apart. That's not considered to be an iser da'oraisa of bona or soser, or any iser. So all of these things, these kisei traskol, the asla, all these things are, it's the normal use that they're always put together, taken apart, and therefore it's not a violation of bona or soser. Now in the kisei traskol, he has Rav Zilberstein has in Chashukei Chemed, he has a discussion in Yonah Dioma, the fact that I guess Rav Zilberstein has it makes it a Daf Yomi coincidence, that in the Parshios we're reading right now, he has a Shaila, Binyan Katan Ketavnis HaMishkan, Asli Prakam Prakam. What if you have a model of the Mishkan that's made of different pieces? In Lomdim Shabbos B'Torah, Ofen Asiyas HaMishkan. Let's say you're trying to learn on Shabbos how the building of the Mishkan went. Ha'im Mutu L'Sosra L'Akimo. Can you take it apart, put it back together to learn from it? Seder Asiyas HaMishkan, to learn how they built the Mishkan. So this Shaila was already asked to Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Shalos Tshuvos Salmos Chaim Simen Ayin Beis, where the Shaul gives a bunch of tzadim lahat. Here he tries to give a number of reasons why maybe we should be mekil, and he says maybe it's like a chair that's made of different components. Shulchan Aruch and Shin Tes Vav Sif Hei says it's mutter. Maybe it's like what the Kaf Chaim says in the name of Nod Bihuda, that you're allowed to set up a chuppah that's not there for protection. It's only there for the covet of the chasan and kala, but it's not actually protecting them from the elements. So maybe this also, you're not using it, you're not putting it together to protect anything underneath it. You're not setting up this mishkan to actually protect anything. It's just made to understand. It's made for this outside need to just understand the Torah, to understand what it says in the Torah when it describes the building of the mishkan. So Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld writes, Lo nirili klal lahatir. I don't see any heter over here whatsoever. He says that the idea of the chuppah is completely different. The chuppah has no kiyum whatsoever, machnas atzma. It's a bunch of people just holding it up for a little while. This is an independent structure that could stand on its own. The fact that we take it apart and put it back together, it's not made to be taken apart and put back together in terms of the nature of its structure. It's just people do that to entertain themselves. But the nature of its structure is not made to be, a door is made on hinges. It's made to always be opened up and closed. It's made for that dafka, so that it could be easy to do that. Over here, this is something that you could keep together forever, and it's just that if you want to keep on teaching other people how to do it, or keep on challenging yourself, you would take it apart and put it back together again. Interesting ramifications this might have in terms of Lego and other things on building type toys and Shabbos and Yantif. Okay, let's go weiter though. Ve'in nosa l'tzliya b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to use. Now we're going to take a brief break from the discussion of Ohel, and we're going to discuss actually using a strainer on Shabbos, because the Mishnah mentioned that as well. You're not allowed to use a strainer that's already set up on Shabbos. So Ibayalu, Shimer Mai. And what if you did? What's the halacha? So, meaning what we're asking is this an issa d'oraisa or is this an issa d'rabbanan? So Amar Rav Kahana, Shimer Chayiv Chatos, issa d'oraisa. Maskel Rav Sheshes, Mika Midi d'rabban Mechayiv Chatos, Rav Lozer Shori Lechatchila. Wait a second. Do you ever have machlokasim like this, where one opinion says that it's nisa d'oraisa, the strongest kind of iser, and the other one says, normally you would assume the other opinion would say, no, only asa d'rabbanan. But over here, Rabbi Elazar goes to the other extreme, that it's mamish, mutar l'chatchila. Do you ever have such a thing? So the stechemed tries to collect where we actually do have such things, where you have machlokasim that go mikatsa l'katsa. Stechem marechas mem os tezayin says, you find, for instance, in Maseches Menachos Saditesim Beis, Davar ze asr la amro b'fneham ha'aretz, Rava amar mitzvah la amro b'fneham ha'aretz. That certain things that some amraim held, you're not allowed to say to an amro b'aretz, it's asr. Rava didn't say no, it's mutter to say an amr. He said mitzvah la amro b'fneham ha'aretz. The Gemara brachos chavtes on the base. Mitzvah l'ispalim dumdumei chama, and then laiti ala b'marava man de matzliim dumdumei chama. That it's mitzvah or laiti ala that they would curse people who did this, but typically speaking, we do find that you don't that it is unusual, as the Gemara points out over here, to have machloksim going from one extreme to the other extreme. So says the Gemara, Mask v'Rav Yosef, alam lo. Well, what do you mean? That's so unusual. Hare ir shel zahav, d'Rav Meir mechayev chatos shablos shari l'chachila. We spoke earlier in the Masechta about a certain type of jewelry called ir shel zahav, some type of tiara that a woman would wear that had looked like an image of Yerushalayim on it, where a mayor would hold yichayev chatos from blazer hold it's mutzul l'chachila. He doesn't say asumi d'rabanan. So says Gemara Maihi, where do we find what machlokas are you referring to? Where do we have a machlokas about this ir shel zahav? The Tanya, the Brisa says as follows: L'seitze isha be ir shel zahav v'imyatza chayev eschatos. Divra Meir, Rameir holds a woman is not allowed to wear an ir shel zahav outside on Shabbos, and if she does, she's chayev a carbon chatos. The Chum say she can't, and if she does, it's Patra Velasar. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Yotzi Isha B'Yershal Zav L'Chadchila. That even L'Chadchila, she's allowed to go out with an Yershal Zav. So don't you see that Rav Meir and Rabbi Lazar are in opposite extremes, that Rav Meir holds that Yichayev Chatas, Rabbi Lazar holds as Mutal L'Chadchila, and we don't have a problem with that. So why would we have a problem with it over here? So Amalei Abaye says, no, over there it's different. Misav Rabbi Lazar as Rav Meir Kai. Rabbi Lazar isn't commenting on Rabbi Meir directly. There was a buffer opinion in between. There was a middle ground. The Shita of the Chachamin. Damar Chayev is Chatas. Rabbi Lazar wasn't commenting on Rabbi Meir who says Yichayev Chatas and then saying, no, it's totally mutter. Ad Rabbanan Kai, Damri Patra Rabbi Lazar. He was commenting on the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said it was Patra Rabbi Lazar. Comes along, Rabbi Lazar says, no, not Patra Rabbi Lazar. Mutter L'Chadchila. But that's not from one extreme to the other anymore. Vamluihu mutalakhila. That's what Rabbi Lazar was coming to say. So period. So that's why it's still somewhat of a kasha that you would have such a machlokas minakotza elakotza. So that's Rav Yosef's kasha on the shita of Rav Sheshes that when the Rabbanan say that it's aser that it's going to be. I'm sorry that Rav Kahana's shita, Rav Sheshes kasha on Rav Kahana's shita that how could you Rav Kahana say that yichayev chatos? We don't find the argument that go from one extreme to the other. So now says the Gemara, Mishamay Masrinan Bey, what malacha is it, do you give hasra'a for when a person is about to be is about to use a mishmeris, when a person is about to use a strainer? What malacha is he going to violate? Now the very question suggests that when you give hasra'a, you need to identify what malacha the person is violating. Tosos discussed this earlier on Ayin Gimel and Beis. He says, no, it's only there's no requirement to give a hasra'a while identifying exactly which malacha the person is violating. The problem is, if you give a person a hasra'a and say, don't do that, it's a violation of merakeid, and it's really not merakeid, it's really borer, that's a problem. Then the person's going to be pater. That would be an invalid hasra'a, because the person's going to think you're just being maliglo, you're just mocking him, making fun of him, but you're not being serious, because you're saying things that aren't true. You're saying something that's completely off base, a completely different malacha. So then the guy is not going to be chayiv. But Tosos and Sadi Vavim Beis, and also Maseches Baba Kama, that Beis Amalav, it seems that you do have to identify the malacha, and not only that, you even have to identify the tol, the b'shem, the yav. And if you just give the guy hasra stam, that it's asa to do it, then that such a hasra would be invalid. So you have different shitos in the Balei HaTosfos, how to understand this Gemara. Mishumbayim Asriter Bey, does it mean if you want to identify the malacha, which malacha do you identify it as, or doesn't mean that you must identify the malacha, and therefore you need to know before you give hasra exactly what malacha you're giving hasra for? There is a shita of Rashi in Maseches Shavuos on Daf Chaf. Rashi writes that not only do you need to normally that Rashi seems like a chumrah in terms of hasra. Rashi says you need to identify the pasuk that the person is violating. That when you give hasra, you have to say what pasuk it is in the Torah. Now, in Shabbos, that would be a significant kula in the definition in hasra, because you would not you would not need to identify the malacha. The Torah never, there is no pasuk that identifies malachas. You just need to identify a pasuk about Chol Shabbos, and there's no shortage of those. So that the Rashi would come out as a kula and Shabbos, a chumra, and every other type of hasra that one would give. That you have to actually identify the pasuk. But anyway, so the Gemara wants some shemay masrinin base. So what exactly is the hasra that a person gives someone who's about to use a strainer? So Rabba Amar Mishum Borer. Rabba says, well, he's about to violate Borer. So it's Borer. Rabbi Zeir Amar Mishum Merakeid. No, it's like sifting. So Amar Rabba Kavase Didi Mistaver. Rabba says, I'll tell you why I think it's much more like Borer. Ma Darko Shal Borer Notel Ochel Umaniach HaPsoles Av HaChanami Notel Asa Ochel Umaniach HaPsoles. Just like by Borer, you take the good and you leave the bad, so too over here, you take the good, you take the Ochel, and you leave the psolus, you leave the garbage. So that's considered to be borer. Now Tosos over here says Lo Tikshai Hidashili Klal Gadol Kamoshi Pirashti Sham. So he just refers you to what he said earlier on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. What he's referring to is that over there it seems to say the opposite, that you're allowed to be borer ochel mitoch psolus. That's how we generally think by Malachas Borer. That as long as you take the good, that's fine. You're just not allowed to pull out the bad. You're not allowed to pick out the undesired in order to purify the tarovas, to have only the stuff that you like left. So why over here does it say the opposite? So Tosa says that over here we're talking about where the psolus is meruba, and therefore the derech brera is when you take the ochel from the psolus, because the ochel is the minority, so you would always want to pick out whatever's the smaller job. That's what you would want to do. So that would be the derech brera. So it all depends. There is no, Tosa seems to assume, there is no din of ochel mitoch psolus versus psolus mitoch ochel. There's a din of meruba mitoch hamuat versus muat mitoch hameruba. And that's how you miyashev the two sugyas. The ran, earlier in Daf Ayin Dalet, was mitaret, that the Gemara over here is saying as follows, that since by borer, ochel mitoch psolus, you can find a case where there is a chiyuv, like when you use enough of a kavra, when you use a sieve of some sort. So that's why we say that even if you give asra mishum borer, it is a valid asra, because you do find borer that could involve ochel mitoch psolus. Meaning, he's not saying that it's only borer. Rabbi's not saying that you have to give asra mishum borer. Of course it's merakid. But it's saying even borer would be a valid form of asra over here, because it's not totally off base. Sometimes you find a kind of borer where it's ochel mitoch psolus as well. Amr Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir says kavasi didimis tavra. He says, I think I'm correct. Ma darko shel merakid psolus milamala vochel milamata. Just like when you sift, the psolus is left on top and the ochel goes through to the bottom. Av hachanami, so too when you use a strainer, psolus milamala vochel milamata. The psolus is left on top and the ochel goes through to the bottom. Tari Rami Bar Yecheskel, talis kful lo yase, v'masar pater aval asar. A bent over talis, to spread over a talis over four pegs in order to sleep underneath it like a canopy, you're not supposed to do that, but it's not chayiv chatas, it's not an isudar raisa, it's an isudar abanan. Hayikar chalat chutom shicha, mutal and tosal lechachila. But if you already had it partially hanging up from before Shabbos, then you're even lechachila allowed to extend it the rest of the way. What about a kila, another type of canopy that they would hang? What's the din? Amalei af mita asuri. He says, what do you mean? Even a mita, even a bed is asur. Mita mahu. What's the din by a bed? So amalei af kila mutaris. Well, even a canopy is mutar. Kilo mita mahu. What about a canopy and a bed? Amalei kila asura mita mutaris. What about kila asur mita's mutar? So this seems like a three-way stira. What's going on over here? We're talking past each other in a million different ways. Kila asur mut. So says the Gemara of Lokasha. It's not a kasha. Hadukam raf mita asura. When we say that everything's asur, mita and a kila is asur, that's kidikar manai. That's if it's made up of different sections that can be tightened, so then it's asur midrabanan to set up, even if it's a mita. If it's made up of different sections and you tighten it together, that's going to be asur. Hadukam laf kila mutaras. When we say that even a canopy is mutter to spread over a bed, that's kidrami bar yecheskel. That's like in a case like Rami bar yecheskel where it is where it's already attached to the frame before Shabbos, so that's going to be completely mutter. Kila asura o mita muteres kididan. What's a case where a kila is asur and mita is muter? That's in a normal case where you're allowed to stand up the bed, but you can't set up a canopy over a bed. A normal bed, a normal canopy.
Amar of Yosef, Chazinulu Likili Debe Rav Huna, Demiyota Nagidu Mitzafr Chaviti Ramya. He says, we used to see the canopies by the house of Rav Huna, that at night they would set it up, and in the morning they would take it down. Why were they allowed to do that? Because again, this fits into that middle category. The kila, the canopy that's mutter to spread over a bed, it was already attached to the frame before Shabbos. So in Rav Huna's house, they would remove the kila on Shabbos, and probably put up the kila as well on Shabbos. So if they would put it up and take it down, because it was partially put up already before Shabbos, and that's 100% mutter. Amar Rav Mishum Rebbe Chia, vilon mutter and tosu mutter lefroko. A vilon, a vertical partition, is mutter to put up and mutter to take down. Meaning, we're not only talking about canopies, but even setting up a mechitza, a vertical partition, that's also mutter to set up and mutter to take down. This is also a discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim. Beis Yosef writes about vilon. He says, Parochas shalvin the Beis Yosef in Simna Shintas Vav. Parochas shalvnei Oron HaKodesh. Are you allowed to take down a parochas and put up a parochas? Says the Beis Yosef, Mutu la'asiru b'shabas lifro sachar b'mukomo, Dainu mamish vilon d'shari rav. It's exactly the case of vilon, which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chia, is mutter to set up. It's a vertical partition. That's how the Trumas Deshan writes, but then the Trumas Deshan says, but I'm not so sure, because there is a Gemara in Erevin, Pirish vilon shalifnei pesach letznius mutulin toso delav oel ka'avid, because it's not kavua hasam. You're always setting it up and taking it down. But a parochas that you set up to stay there for good, that's meant to be there for a long, long time, so maybe that should be a bigger problem. There was a shailer, Rav Zilberstein raises over here, about a vilon. He says that during Melchemes Sinai in Eretz Yisrael, hechrizo b'chutzos Yerushalayim, they made laws in Yerushalayim that they had to close all windows, shutter all windows at night, so that the enemy planes would not be able to see where light is coming from. Because if they could see that there's light emanating from the homes, they'll know what are residential neighborhoods, and they'll be able to attack. It would make their job a little bit easier. So they set it up laws that you had to cover all the windows. So Gabbai Beis HaKnesses wanted to make sure that the shir that was supposed to go on that night would still go on in the shul. So he left the lights on in the shul, and he thought he bought enough black paper to cover all the windows. There was one window that he didn't have anything to cover it with. So he took the parochas from the Aron Kodesh, and he covered the window with the parochas from the Aron Kodesh. So first he wanted to know, are you allowed to do that? After he did it, are you allowed to do that? And second, at that point it was b'koch nefesh, meaning, but he wanted to know, should he had set it up l'chadchil, is that okay to use the parochas for such a thing? And second, he says, is it mutter to be mafil l'chalonos beis haknesses on Shabbos when you didn't do it on a weekday? Can you set up such vertical partitions? So in the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says he was asked about setting up parochas of Beis HaKnesses to hang up in a sukkah as a sukkah decoration, and this is already discussed in the Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch. So and the Maskana is that since Nagu Kain, it's Ki'ilu Histo Mitchila L'kach. That since that's the minhag to use a parochas for such a thing, it's as if you made it tonight l'chadchil. That's what you want to use it for. That's where the minhag is to do that. If the minhag is not to do that, then it's not ki'ilu histo mitchila l'kach. But he says maybe over here it's different, because over there it's a horada mikdushasa. But over here, maybe it's not a horada mikdushasa, because what's the parochas there for? It's for the covenant of the Torah. So what are you using it for now? For the covenant of the Torah, so they'll be able to say a shir. So maybe that's not considered a horada mikdusha. But what about our issue? What about bona asiyas ohel? So the Chaznish writes, mitzad bona, that hecha shetol lios kavua, Ein makom lechalik bein tol pesach pesuach ob tol al adelas shere lo mishum mechitza. When you're putting it there on a permanent basis, it's not a mechitza. You're not putting it there as a mechitza. Therefore, it would make no difference if it's closing an open space or hanging against the door. It's an issue of binyan, and whenever it's kavua, it's a violation of binyan. But he says, if it's something that you're not really putting there kavua, you're only putting there temporarily, that would not be a violation of binyan. So if it's just covering a window temporarily, l'chor, in this case, it would not be a violation of binyan. Okay, so Let's see Vaitus. So it says Mar Vilan Mutal and Tosa Mutal Farko. So you're allowed to set up this vertical partition. Vamar Shmuel Mishum Rabichia Kila Kilas Chasanim rather Mutal and Tosa Mutal Farko. Kilas Chasanim also you can set up and take down. Amar Rav Sheshes Bered Ravidi Lo Amar El Shein Begaga Tefach Avol Yesh Begaga Tefach Asura. That's only if it's not a tefach wide at the top. But if it's a tefach wide at the top, then it's going to be asur to set up this Kilas Chasanim. V'chiein Begaga Tefach Nami. And even if it's not one tefach wide at the top, if within three tefachim of the top it gets to a width of one tefach, that's also going to be aser. Aser. That too is going to be aser. Grat takes out the next line. We'll read it. That's also if it's at its widest point, it doesn't get to on a slant, it doesn't get to within a tefach, but if on the angle it gets to within a tefach also, that's considered like an ohel. Also, if it doesn't hang beyond beyond the bed by a full tefach on each side, but if it hangs beyond the bed, a full tefach on each side, that's also going to be aser. The second to last one was if at its widest point it has to be less than two tefachim. That forget about within three tefachim from the top. That even at its widest point it would need to be less than two tefachim, less than one tefach on each side. That's the shipua, the slant, meaning from the center, that it would have to be less than one tefach off from each side. So these are all the qualifications that the Gemara adds in order to make it mutter. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Vam Rav Sheshes, Breid Rav Yidi, Hai Siana Shari. This certain type of felt hat is mutter. So Frek the Gemara Va'amrit Siana Aser. I thought a felt hat is Aser. So lo kasha. Hadi is betefach, hadi less betefach. No, it depends if it has a tefach of width, the brim is one tefach wide, or not one tefach wide. Styles change in the types of hats that people wear on Shabbos. So it used to be that the style was to have a very narrow brim, so you didn't have this shaila. Then the style became for a while to have very wide brims to wear on Shabbos. So then you have this shaila, you have that's this sugya, is that mutter? I remember at my brother's offer, my parents put up Rabbi Tendler, my brother married Rabbi Tendler's granddaughter, so they put up Rabbi Tendler at the most chashma person they could think of, whatever, it's something that they knew. It was a very chashva Jew, connected to a lot of very important Hasidic Rebbes and Rashi Yeshiva, and the guy answered the door, Rabbi Tendler, I see you, and he says, you're not going to wear that on Shabbos, are you? He thought the hat was a violation, it was more than a tefach of a brim. So let's see, does the Gemara bear that out? So the Gemara says, it depends, if it's a tefach, at this point the Gemara says, well, if it's a tefach, why? Then you can't wear such a hat. Elameata, so says Gemara, if that's the case, if a person takes his talis and puts it over his head in a way that he wraps it more than a tefach beyond his head, is that also going to be chayiv, that you're making an ohel over your head? Come on, you can't take a hat and say that it's an ohel. So says the Gemara, here's the key. How you understand this line will impact whether the hats are okay or not. Ella lo kasha. Had mehadek, had lo mehadek. So we have the word Ella, the girsa of Ella, and that's how Rashi reads it, that we're changing our mind. It has nothing to do with a tefach, not a tefach. That is nothing, the brim of your hat could be a tefach, two tefach, whatever you want. It all depends on how tightly fitting it is. Ella says Rashi, time alav mishum ohel. Who has nothing to do with ohel? Ella mishum shalo yagbienu aruach mirosho vasi lasuya arba amos. The issue is that it might blow off your head and you're going to end up carrying it. Dal ramos. Hilkach mehadik brosho shapir shari lo mehadik asur. So if it's attached really well to your head, it's mutter. If it's not attached really well to your head, it's asur. Now it happens to be wider brim hats do blow off more easily. But Rashi says it's not about the width of the brim. It's about if you have a chin strap on a hat that has a very wide brim, that would be totally mutter because it's not going to blow off your head. If you have it tied on very tightly, and again, this is assuming in a place where there's no erev, in a place where you're allowed to carry things, so probably we don't make zeros about not coming to carry when you're allowed to carry directly. But assuming there's no erev, that's the whole issue. That's how Rashi understands. Tosfos understands differently. Tosfos Pirush Rach she'enu nichvach da'oz nira ke'en ohel d'lo mahadik shu nichvach va'oz e'en nira ke'en ohel. That mahadik lo mahadik has nothing to do it has everything to do with ohel. It has to do with how hard is the brim? Is the brim extremely soft where it's floppy and therefore it can't really call it an ohel, or is it more hard, more stiff, and therefore it would be considered an ohel? That's the machlokas, Rashi and Tosos. Now it happens to be, what do we pass on halacha? Rov Rishon and pass on Rabbeinu Chananel. That's how the Rambam paskins in the 22nd paragraph of Shabbos. Magen Mishnah says Kein Iker. The Torah writes that Rabbeinu Tam imhu bole tefach asr mishum ohel afilu bebayis, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. So the Radvaz writes, and by the way, this is also the sugya that they base all the tshuvas about umbrellas on. The Rabbi Yehuda has a long tshuva about umbrella, Madura Tinyana Simulamud, about a prasel, which is an umbrella, to use it on Shabbos, that it's asr mishum ohel. So in the tshuvas of Radvaz, he says there are three tanoim, chelike simin Elef Tuf Nun. He says there are three conditions that have to be met in order for it to be asr to wear a hat. First of all, it needs to be a tefach, because there's no such thing as an ohel pachas mitefach. Second of all, it has to be muhudak barosho kumin kova. It has to be attached onto the head like a hat. And third is that it has to be stiff. He says the idea of mahadik lo mahadik means two things, that it's attached on well to your head, and that it's a stiff brim. And only if you have all three of those things is it going to be a problem. Okay, so the minig is to be mekel with the wide brim borsalinos. He says, tell me some nice things that you said in the name of Rav. Tarti b'Shabbos v'chad b'Torah. Two about Shabbos, which relate to our sugyas, and one about Torah in general. So Shalach Lei says, okay, teaching number one. Hadatanya, good b'kisna mutal in tosa b'Shabbos, amarav lo shonu el b'beiz b'nei adam, aval badam echad aser. The first thing is, two people are allowed to hang a leather bag by its straps, since they're not going to hang it so tightly, but a single person is not allowed to hang a leather bag by its straps. He's going to hang it too tightly, and that's going to be an issue of making an ohel. Amar Abaye, v'kila afilu beiz b'nei adam aser, but a kila, even if it's hung by two people, it's asr because they're going to tie it very taut, and therefore it's going to be making an ohel. Idach mahi, what else did you say in the name of Rav? So second teaching in the name of Rav, Ditanya. Kira shenishmata achas miyarkosel mutul letaltala. If you have an oven with a single broken leg, you're not. It's mutter to if a single leg broke off of it, you're allowed to be metaltalit. Shtayim asr, two legs broke off of it, it's asr. Rav Amar, but Rav says afilu chad nami yasu gzer shem yitka, that even if one leg broke off of it, you're not allowed to move it, lest you come to attach the leg back onto the oven, and that would be a violation of bona on Shabbos, and that's why we mention it here in this sugya, because it's all about bona. Third teaching, Torah, what's the teaching about Torah? Damar Rav, asid the Torah shetishtakach miYisrael, one day the Torah is going to be forgotten from the Jewish people. Shnemar v'hifla Hashem es makosecha. Hafla zuin yodea ma'u, so we don't know what the word hafla means. K'shu omer, l'chein yosef l'hafli yosam hazeh, hafli v'fela, haviyomer hafla azu Torah. So we learn that hafla means Torah. Tan Rabban, k'shenichnos Rabbisinu l'keren b'yavna amru, asid the Torah shetishtakach miYisrael. When Rabban came into Keren b'yavna, they were concerned that Torah was going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, because the pasuk says, "Hinei yom boim num Hashem." Hashem says, "Days are coming." Num Hashem elokim v'yishlachti rav ba'aretz, and there's going to be a famine in the land. Lo rav lelechem, lo tzom alamayim. But we're not going to be hungry for bread. We're not going to be thirsty for water. Ki im l'shmo es divrei Hashem. We're going to be thirsty for dvar Hashem, hungry for dvar Hashem. Uksiv v'no mayim adyam mitzof v'ad mizrach kishotu levakish dvar Hashem lo yimatzu. We're going to look high and low, and we're not going to be able to find the dvar Hashem where we look for it. Dvar Hashem zualacha. Dvar Hashem zehaketz. Dvar Hashem, Zunavua. What are all these things we're going to be looking for? Halachic questions. We're going to be wanting to know about Kates, about the Yemos Mashiach. We're going to be wanting to know about Navua. Umay Yishotu Levakish Tvar Hashem, Omer Asidi Isha Shetitel Kikar Shel Truma, Vitaks of Batik Nasius, Batim Drashus, Ledim Tmei, Vim Tauri. A woman's going to take a simple Shaila of Truma, she's going to take a loaf of bread of Truma, and she's going to say, is this Tamei, is this Tahar? Ve'ein Maven, and no one's going to be able to respond, no one's going to be able to say anything, no one's going to know anything. Im Tahuri, even Tamehi, something so simple, whether it's Torah or Tamei, Behed Yaksiv Bei, you don't need to be a Tamil Chacham, that's Beferish and Chumish, Mikola Ochal Asher Yeachel, food is Mekabel Tuma, that can't be the issue, Eloleda Im Rishona Yivim Shnia Yivim Maven. No, a Shaila is going to be a little more nuanced, she's going to want to know what level of Tuma it is. Is it a Rishon Tuma, a Sheini Tuma, Sanami Masnisni, but that's a Mishnah, who doesn't know Mishnah is? Kitizan, Asher Shim Sabatan, Rapasha Batoch Shnia, Shatan Rotchila, The oven is a rishon l'tumah. The bread inside of it is a sheni. So no, mistapkul l'adomer le'ravada barava l'rava l'chsiya haytanur command the mali tumah v'tavi pas rishona. No, they're going to be mesupak. Should we view the entire oven as if it's full of tumah, and therefore the bread will be rishon? Amar le'larmir l'chazia haytanur command the mali tumah titani yachol yukol akel mitam bavruk licheres tamalom akol asher betoch yitma mikol akol asher yachel. Only an ochel becomes tamei, only food becomes tamei in the airspace of a klicheres, not kelim. So you see that we don't view the entire thing as if it's filled with tumah, and that's why it's only a sheni with tumah. He says, I don't like this conversation. God forbid, how can you say Torah is going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael? It will never be forgotten. What does it mean that they're going to look for Dvar Hashem and they're not going to be able to find it? It means that you're not going to find agreement about the reasons for the halachos in the Mishnais. Mishnah Brura is the halachos of the Mishnais. Halacha Brura, the explanation, the timing that you have for the Mishnais. You're not going to find it all b'makom echad, clear reasons for each of the Mishnais. But what the halacha says, that there's going to be Torah available, that will always be true in Klal Yisrael. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from the top of Kuvlan Etasim and Allah.